All right, if you would please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. And we'll be looking at a familiar passage that is sometimes misquoted. Paul talks about the fact that he will be delivered, whether he is freed, turned loose from his imprisonment, or whether he is executed by the Roman authorities. From his perspective, it really doesn't matter, although he has a preference. But for him, it doesn't matter. And we will be looking at why that doesn't matter to him and why, frankly, it shouldn't matter to us. He says in verse 21, Philippians chapter 1, "For to me..." Now, make sure that we recognize that little word, to, because we have a tendency to say it, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And many people can't say that. I would dare say that the vast majority of people can't say that. And so Paul says, "For to me," from my perspective, personally, Paul is saying, "From my perspective, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." Let's back up and look at Paul. All right. Paul, during, far as we know, the entire time that he was an apostle, was a bachelor. There is, and I'm not going to go into all the explanation as to why, I think there's a strong likelihood that he was probably widowed as a younger man. Generally speaking, in order to be a Pharisee, you had to be married. And here you have this young man who became a Pharisee remarkably early. That was something that usually somebody didn't attain until at least middle age. And so here you have this man. He's not married, has no children, has no attachments, no earthly responsibilities that we are aware of. And there are perks and benefits to that. Especially for the things that Paul was doing. There's no one that is dependent on him, materially. There's nobody that's dependent on him financially. He doesn't have a wife or family and other people that depend on him for support. He can, you know, I remember I had a professor in college that said that, talk about these young guys that are wanting to get married at the age of 20 or whatever, 20, 21, whatever. And he says, "Now remember the idea that two can live as cheaply as one is true. Two men can live as cheaply as one woman." A woman needs a place. That's not a disparaging thing. Women have more expenses. They need a place. A guy can live in a refrigerator box. A guy can live very roughly. I have known some guys that lived in a garage. I have known guys that lived, and that's basically the Apostle Paul. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, he is speaking personally. If I have got a wife and family and so on, it is not right for me to force them to live by the same standard that I am willing to. It might be because they may grow embittered because they don't have the level of devotion, or they just don't get it. They don't see it. Maybe they don't know the Lord. And so Paul is free. I can live this way. And I have no one to worry about except myself as far as support. And I am wholly dependent on the Lord, so I'm not worried about it. And here's the other thing. I live for Christ. My whole purpose of being, and here's the thing that we all need to plug in. This needs to be our outlook. I live for Christ. My whole purpose is for Christ. And yes, there are various things that go with living in this world and having a family and so on. But my purpose for being here is Christ. And Paul was willing to suffer for that, recognizing that God is in charge of circumstances. We have the quote here from 2 Corinthians, where he, and by the way, 2 Corinthians was written quite a few years before Philippians, so we can add to this list, but let's go ahead and read this, and if you've got it there in your notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, I have lost count how many times I have been lashed. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, threat of death, fear of, I should say fear, but the likelihood, the possibility, the distinct possibility that I may not survive the circumstances that I find myself in. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. That would be the lictors, that you got a licking, that's where our term comes from. Once I was stoned and left for dead. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. I've done without a meal, or two, or three, or four, or five. In cold and nakedness. We could just go on this list. And he could say, when it was all done, I have suffered these things willingly, because I suffer them for Christ, who is my purpose. And if he decrees that this is the thing that I endure in this life, so be it. I willingly, joyfully endure these things. And then he says there in the next verse, beside those things that are without, the things that I deal with myself physically, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. And for those of you who are parents in particular, you know that, yes, I may be dealing with things personally, but when something happens to your children, that affects you more than something that happens to you personally. And Paul looked at the churches, the people, the members of his team, the people he ministered to, in to some extent as his children. I will let you know that a pastor with the right heart, and I know some of them are old enough to be his parents or even his grandparents, but a pastor looks at his flock to some extent as his children. It's just the way it is. And that's a good thing. He loves his flock. And as Paul travels from place to place, he's got a lot of flocks that he ministers to. And he grieves over failures and people that have fallen into sin. And then he rejoices in the other things that are, and it's this, and it's like having, you know, 27,000 grandchildren. You know them all. And I'm not exaggerating probably the numbers at this point in time when you consider this state of where he is. And he prays for these people. Because in the epistles he says, and not only that, when we get to Philippians, he remembers people's names. He's praying for individuals by name in these various assemblies. Folks, that takes time. If you are serious about prayer, I have a friend who is a pastor, and he's got an assistant pastor. And he does this himself, and he requires this of his assistant pastor. I want you, during the course of the week, to pray by name for everybody in our church. That's a lot of... Yes, and that's your responsibility. That is a duty that you have as a pastor. Okay, we have a proof for the directory out there. Leave that out there at least one more week. We have a proof for the directory out there. The directory is not for the sales of essential oils or Tupperware. It is, in part, a prayer list. Oh, what's the name of their kid? It's in the list. As you pray for one another, and you forget, it's there. Pray for one another. Pray for one another every week. And it is a burden on the heart. And so if I stay here in this life, if I stay here in this world, I am going to continue to endure all these different things that I already have endured. There's going to be more of them, and maybe some new ones that I hadn't thought of before. Not that I want to think about them. And so I spend, Paul could say, hours in prayer. I labor, I work, because he was self-supporting. So he is working with his hands so that he could minister. And we know from 2 Corinthians that he stayed up late at night to do his manual labor so that he could preach to people when they were available during the day. So he did without sleep in order to do his other ministry. In study, in the care for others, rejoicing in their victories, grieving over their failures, I have, regardless of my circumstances, remember the theme of Philippians really is joy. And it's based not on my circumstances. I can be in great pain and I can be by myself and I could be deprived of all this earth's work, all this earth's goods and still be in joy. Because my joy is not dependent on circumstances. But there's a difference between happiness and joy, by the way. Happiness has a tendency to be tied to circumstances. Joy does not necessarily have to be tied to circumstances. Too often it is. It doesn't have to be. Our joy is dependent on our relationship with God. My God will never leave me nor forsake me. He is always there. As I yield myself to him, his power is always there. He gives me the enablement to do and be what I am supposed to do and be. My children hated hearing that when they were little. If you know Christ as your Savior and you profess that, then you can do anything you're supposed to do. It's true. It's true for us. Well, we sometimes don't like to hear it either. Because we look at our failures and we look at the obstacles and we love to be able to hang on to an excuse. But there is no excuse. You can do and be whatever you're supposed to do and be regardless of the circumstances. God does not put his children in a no-win situation. You don't have to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You don't have to sin. And so, as I am left here, I'm speaking as Paul would speak, as I am here, because I live for Christ, my life is for Christ, my whole being is for Christ, because while I'm here, I am going to be seeing souls saved, I am going to be seeing the spiritual growth of the saints, I'm going to be doing this discipleship. I am going to see the continued growth of the ministry as we go to new places and preach the gospel and new churches are established. And so there's all these good things that would happen on top of that big list of bad things. But that's okay because my life is for Christ. And so I endure the hardship because this is my life for Christ. And if I endure hardship and difficulty, it's part of the territory of living a life for Christ in this world. But, back to our text, for to me to live is Christ, that is the present, and that should be the present for all of us. I live for him. My life is for him. That is my purpose. Anything else is the little bits and pieces that allow me to exist in this world. Well, Pastor, I have to work a job. Yes, your job, and I'm quoting somebody, your job, your career is a means of putting money in the bank so that you can serve the Lord. I have a job. I have a career. I have a house. I have a car. I have all these different things so that I can live in this world so that I can serve Christ in this world. They are not an end in and of themselves, although we have a tendency to look at it that way. You know, we want to collect our stuff. Our stuff becomes a distraction. Paul didn't have any stuff. That's a big plus. He had the clothes on his back, maybe what he could carry in a little satchel or something like that, but that's it. For to me to live is Christ, but to die, oh, to die is gain. I will get to be with Jesus. I live for him now, but I don't get to see him. I talk to him, and Paul got revelations from the Lord. He had some perks and benefits we don't have. But the one I have labored for, the one who died for me, the one I have been serving for all these years, the one who has empowered me and gotten me through all these things, the one who has sustained me, I will get to see him. The one I love, the one I have been longing to see, I will get to see, not only see him, I will get to be with him and never be parted again. And he says, that's a gain. If I stay, I serve. And that's good. That's wonderful. It is a thing that's filled with joy. But if I leave, if I am delivered from this world, I get to go be with my Jesus. And that's a gain. That's a gain. Verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, if I stay, this is the fruit of my labor. If I stay, I anticipate new journeys, going places where the gospel has never been preached, because he was a pioneer guy, going to, because he, when he writes to the Romans, he's talking about the fact that I have preached, we talked about this at the beginning, I preached everywhere from Albania to Damascus and everywhere in between, and there's no place left in that piece of territory where I haven't preached the gospel, so I gotta head west so that I can go places that haven't heard it yet. And so his intentions were to go to Italy, to go to Rome, be there briefly, and then head west to Spain. We don't know if it ever happened. That was his intention. That was his goal. I got all of Spain just to myself. And then if the Lord spares me, I can go north. I can go to France. You know, eat snails and frogs. Let's go. Places to go, places to preach the gospel, places where it has never gone. So new journeys, new souls, new churches, taking the gospel where it's never been. God has remarkably blessed the past, and I anticipate that he will do the same in the future. If he spares me, it's for a purpose, and this is what my plan is, if I am spared. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. What I should choose, if it was up to me, it's not up to me, but if I were to choose, he says, I what not? I'm at this great dilemma. If I were to choose, now it's not up to me, thankfully. But if I had to choose, man, because I really love doing what I do, in spite of all the hardships and difficulties that we see at the top of the page, in spite of all those things, I love doing what I do because I'm living for Jesus, and he's empowering me, and he is doing great and wonderful things through me. It is a wonderful, wonderful life I live. In spite of the deprivations, in spite of the pain and the suffering and all the things that go with it, it is a wonderful life I live because everything I am doing has eternal consequences. What a blessed thing. But I'm in this dilemma. I'm in straight betwixt two. Verse 23, and I didn't change the verse at the top of the page. I need to fix that. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. It would be so much better. The best thing that could happen to me is to drop dead. Really? Yes, that's exactly right. If I belong to Christ, the best thing that can happen is, okay, when my wife and I were dating, when we were engaged, the summers were very trying. I'm in South Carolina, she's in California. And There's a lot of phone calls, back when phone calls were expensive. And there were letters almost daily. And there's this back and forth. But all I've got is this picture that's sitting on my dresser. And I'd look at the picture, but it doesn't talk to me. It's just a picture. It's smiling at me. Actually, it's smiling at a photographer. It's not smiling at me. I have to pretend she's smiling at me. And I'm looking forward to fall when I get to see her. I'll get to see her. But then she's living on campus. I'm living in town. And so I only get to see her, you know. And then you get married. It's like, yes, now I get to be with her. And to some extent, our relationship with the Lord is the same. We live this, 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We have this long distance relationship, sort of, that I talk to him, he talks to me, okay, the letters and the phone calls, but I'm not really with him as I would long to be. And yet my whole life is wrapped up in this one that I love, but I'm not with in the fullest extent that I will be, as is promised. And so I wait. In the meantime, I'm faithful, I'm loyal, I'm serving, I'm loving, he is providing, he is protecting, he is doing all these things. And there's joy in service. And there's joy in honoring my Savior with my life. But oh, to be with him. It is far better. And so as you serve him now, make sure that your life is about Jesus. Because anything that's going to distract from that, folks, you can't take with you. You brought nothing into this world, and certainly you can carry nothing out, it says. And so anything I have that is simply a distraction from eternal things. My life needs to be for Christ. For, to me, to live is Christ. I need to be able to say, for me, to live is Christ. My life is His. My life is to serve Him. My purpose for being is to serve Him and to love Him and to do as He would wish. To honor and glorify Him in my life, whether it be by life or by death. And that my love and devotion to Him is such that I would actually have the mindset that my departure is a blessing and not something to be afraid of. I will get to be with him. It's going to happen sooner or later. I hope it's later. He says it's far better. And there are Christians around the world that they are forced by circumstances to live this way. Because they have nothing in this world. And they never know from day... Look at those believers that are stranded there in Afghanistan. The local Afghans who have been saved in the last 10 years. And they never know. They don't know what's going to be coming. They don't know what's going to be happening tomorrow. Some of them are moving from house to house. They got hiding places they keep shifting to keep away from the authorities. All I've got is what I can hustle away in a bag at night. My bare necessities. I live for him today. I have no guarantee that I will be here tomorrow. But if I'm not here tomorrow, I will be with him tomorrow. And that is far better. Heavenly Father, may we have this mentality. We are here for you. Our lives are yours. I am to live for Christ. And Father, that makes this life in a lot of ways much simpler. As we endure hardship and difficulty and physical problems and all the different things that come from mortality. And all the extra difficulties that come by being a devoted Christian in this world. Father, we need to recognize that when we leave, it is going to be infinitely better. That the very best that this life has to offer is garbage compared to what lies ahead for us. And so, Father, may we not be attached to this world, but may we be attached to you. Because whether here or there, we have you. And Father, may we live with this mindset, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.